All right. Well, this is probably not going to be a surprise to you, and it's certainly not a surprise to any dads in the room. But it can be tough sometimes to know how to be a good dad. I mean, if you think about it, there's very few things in a man's life that require more vulnerability, that cause us to face our own personal fears more than being a dad. I mean, when I interact with my kids, there's days, maybe I shouldn't say days, there are moments in some days when it brings out the best in me, and I find myself able to do things I never thought I could do. But then there's all those other times and those other days when being with my kids and interacting with them tends to bring out the very worst in me. And there's a lot of days, I'll be real, I don't want to face the worst parts of my life. I would just as soon pretend that I'm always a fairly patient, kind, godly person. And sometimes being with my kids frees me from that perception. The beauty and the challenge of being a parent is that you don't get to hide, right? At least not for very long. And we try, don't we, parents? We try. There's times when we hear something, we're like, oh, please don't come in this room. Sometimes I saw a video on Facebook of a mom who literally hides in the pantry when her kid gets stressed out. And then you hear the knock on the door and little fingers coming under the door and mommy, mommy, mommy. We can't hide. They hunt us down even when we're a hot mess and we're not ready to be a parent. Being a godly dad or a mom for that matter is really tough sometimes. But here's what I know about all the dads, most of the dads, I should say, that I've interacted with. We desperately want to be good dads. I mean, we understand the challenges, and we know they can be overwhelming and intimidating sometimes, but we love our kids. We want to influence their lives. We want to protect them. We want to set them up for a lifetime of success. We want them to love their mom. We want them to love their siblings. We want them to love God. We want them to make a significant contribution to the world. And we as dads want to speak into their lives with purpose, with love, and with power. We want to play the part that God has built and designed us to play as dads. But sometimes what we're missing and what we're lacking is a roadmap. Now, I love maps, okay? For those of you that are under 25 or so, maps are these things that were around before your GPS was invented. It was on paper. It's like Google Maps, but they printed them on paper. And you could fold it up. Well, I've never been very good at folding them up, but you can get the ones that open up like a book, and I'm better with those. You could carry them with you, and when you got lost or you're trying to get somewhere, as long as you knew where you were starting from, that's pretty important, and as long as you knew where you were headed, you could see all the different options and the different ways you could get where you were wanting to go. The funny thing about maps, though, which is different from GPS, is that it required you to make some decisions. It's not like today when you plug in an address and then just let the phone tell you what to do. The old days, you got to choose different ways to get to your destination. I mean, you had to stay engaged with the process because there was no magical voice named Siri who was going to tell you how to get where you wanted to go. Sure, we did get lost a little more often than we do now, maybe, but we also generally understood the big picture and how to get from place to place a little bit better. Being a dad is kind of like that. What I want more than anything, as far as being a dad, I want to be able to have a phone that I can plug in the destination, godly dad. Hit the button and it says go. And then I want a little robotic voice in my head telling me in every single situation what I need to do in order to be a godly dad. I want somebody to take all the guesswork out of it. I want to take all the thinking out of it, all of the trusting God out of it. I just want to know what to do. However, I haven't found that app yet for my phone. If you found it somewhere in your searches online, please let me know because my kids could really use it, okay? I don't want to have to make decisions for myself, but God doesn't seem to provide that turn-by-turn navigation. When he gives us kids, as someone I heard recently observed, he doesn't include an instruction manual with that kid when they're born. What he does, though, is provide us with a roadmap. Now, have you noticed that sometimes the Bible does not give you the specifics that you would like to have? Let me give you an example. I got a verse up here, which is actually one of the very few verses in the New Testament that's directly addressing parenting and being a father in specifics. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. I got it up here on the screen behind us. It says, fathers, yes. Fathers, do not provoke your pastor to anger. No, I'm just joking. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Now, do you need a little bit more, though, mom, dad, in your day-to-day life? Bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Discipline. Okay, discipline. I can wrap my head around that. Instruction. I can wrap my head around that. How do you know how to discipline your kid in each individual moment? You got neighbors or you got friends over and you're eating food and your kids know they can get away with stuff because you're not going to, you know, give them the look of death necessarily right there because you got guests. And so they grab the cookies when they're still not done with their food and they look at you, daring you to respond. What do you do in that moment? What does it mean to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord in that moment? Does it mean I call a freeze to this meal and I will handle you, child, or I will send them to their room? Do I make an example out of them? Do I just let it go? What do I do? You see, I want the voice in my ear telling me things, well, I don't have to make decisions. I just kind of want to move along. And instead, what I find is that God gives us these principles, these big picture ideas, and then he expects us to have a relationship with the Spirit of God along the way to help me apply the roadmap to my life. You see, we need an ongoing relationship with the God who designed the roadmap of his word. We need to be studying that roadmap with the Holy Spirit kind of looking over our shoulder, advising us on how to use that roadmap properly. Have you ever met somebody who did not use the roadmap properly in your life? You get advice that's biblical in that they have quoted the Bible to you, but they misapplied it or they misquoted it or they applied it to you in the wrong situation. You know, the devil has quoted the Bible before. We need to have someone who can help us. And so here's the way it works. When my heart and my mind are soaking in God's word, in God's wisdom, in the big picture of who I am, where I'm going, what I'm supposed to be doing, and then when I start to move in obedience to what he tells me in his word, the big picture, then I can count on God to be present with me in the moment to make the best decision that I can to handle the specific situations that get thrown at me as a parent. I need the Bible and I need the Spirit to get where I want to go. So, I want to become a godly dad. Most dads that I have met desire to be a godly dad. We're back to the same question. How do I figure out how to do that? Luckily, where we begin is with God's roadmap. Luckily for us, God has shared with us in his word some key habits that will help us to become godly dads if we're willing to put the time and the effort into putting them into practice. And here's the thing. I came across a passage a few weeks ago, totally unrelated to Father's Day. I was struggling to kind of have some momentum. Have you ever felt that way in your life? You feel like you're just kind of like lodged in place and you can't quite get moving. And I felt like I needed something to break me out of the routine and give me something to kind of motivate me to move forward. And I came across a verse that totally reshaped my perspective on my life and for what I ought to be doing right now. And as I've reflected on it over the last few weeks leading up to Father's Day, I'm like, oh man, I gotta share this with the dads in our congregation and our family, because if you embrace this passage, if you as a dad make these habits a part of your life, I guarantee you, you will be making a lot of progress on your journey towards the destination of becoming a godly dad. So even though these words are not addressed only to fathers, they're addressed to all of us as believers, I want to apply them today specifically to us as dads, trying to take steps towards it. And for you ladies that are here, I'm going to talk to you at the very end. But in the meantime, you can also apply them to your lives as ladies trying to follow after God, wanting to become godly moms. The principles apply, but I think they specifically will speak to us as dads today. So please open your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians. You'll see the passage up here behind you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Please follow along as I read. It's actually, if you're using one of our Bibles here, you feel free to grab one. It's under the seat in front of you. It's on page 962. 962 will help you get right to where I'm going to be reading. And this is what the passage says in verse 58. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Now that's a pretty simple verse, right? On the surface of it. If you've been around church world for any length of time, you've probably heard this verse before or had this verse explained to you. And I hope maybe in the past you've been encouraged by this verse before. But what really stood out to me as I've looked at this passage is how important these guidelines are for dads who want to be godly dads. So if you're following along in your notes, there should be some notes in your bulletin. If you want to follow along and keep track of those blanks, here's the very first practice that I see in this passage that dads who want to be godly dads need to take seriously. And here it is. We must stand firm in what is right. We need to stand firm in what is right. Did you see the verse? Let me remind you. Verse 58. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast and immovable." Now, if you're curious as to whether or not there's a big difference between those two words, I spent a lot of time this week looking up the differences. There's not much difference. They're basically synonyms of one another. And basically what they mean is the same thing. It evokes the imagery of something that is firmly, solidly in place. Picture you're driving down the road and there's a huge boulder right in the middle of the road. You're going to have to move around it because it is not going to move for you. It's not like when you're driving and you see a deer. I had this funny experience. Again, I live in Addison right now, so I'm driving on the back roads of Addison like this, and I come to a deer. A deer is running in the road in front of me like it's another vehicle in the lane. I'm like, at what point do I blow the horn and cause it to have a heart attack and it falls over and dies? I love God's creation. I don't want to do that. So I'm like, come on, dear. I mean, you're going fast, but I need to get to work. And finally, it veered off the side of the road. That's not being steadfast. Being steadfast and immovable is you are planted in that spot and you're not going to be able to move it. In Santiago, Chile, where I lived for many years, my parents were missionaries growing up, there was a freeway that was built. And apparently, some lady would not sell her property to the government. And so instead of them being able to build a straight expressway, what you have is you have this expressway, and then it goes around this one property, and then it continues on its way. That's what it means to be immovable. It means you're not moving. You're not going anywhere. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul uses this same word to describe the fierce determination that it takes to embrace a life of celibacy for the glory of God's kingdom. I mean, think about it. There's a lot of natural human impulses towards marriage. It just makes sense. We want companionship. We want that experience. Some people, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, have determined fiercely to be immovable about the fact they're going to lay that privilege aside because as a single person, they want to chase after spreading the good news of Jesus. Now, it takes a lot of mental motivation to stick with that, but that's the same word he's using to describe being immovable. It means I'm here, I'm not going out of my way, my way of thinking is set, it's established, and I am fiercely determined to stay right here. Now, the context for this in 1 Corinthians 15, he's talking about, if you read the whole chapter, which I highly recommend to you, it's about the resurrection. And here's basically the first few verses of chapter 15 is Paul basically going to them and saying, how is it possible that some of you are saying there is no such thing as a resurrection? The early Christians, and maybe they were getting outside influences or something, but there were people that were coming into the church saying, resurrection? That doesn't happen. When people die, they stay dead. That's what we know about life. Thousands of years have proven to us that when you die, you stay that way. Resurrection, that can't possibly be what Paul meant. And Paul is saying, no, 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 no. I know it's not familiar to us. I know it's a miracle that we have no experience with, but the resurrection actually happened to Jesus, and someday a resurrection is going to happen to all of those who belong to Jesus. Resurrection is not a negotiable. We don't sit on the fence and go, well, you see it your way and I see it my way. When it comes to the resurrection, Paul says, don't move an inch. Hold on to what you believe. Hold on to what is right. Hold on to what is true. Don't abandon those beliefs just because they're come under fire. or suddenly are unpopular. Stay right there. Be dependable. Be steady. Be immovable. Now, how does that apply to us dads? Dads, we need to build into our lives the practice of having convictions about what is right and about what is wrong. We need to know what we believe, dads, and we need to stick with those beliefs when tough times come. Our culture is trying to convince us that many of the things that Scripture has been teaching since the time of Jesus just don't work anymore. They don't work in our day. They don't apply to us like maybe they did a long time ago. There's teachings about morality, about Jesus himself, about why we're here on this planet. They're just outdated, man. We need to just leave them behind. We'll be respectful. We'll nod in the direction, but we'll leave those things behind and move into the modern world. But here's the thing, guys. Godly dads cling to what is right, and they refuse to move. They're dependable. They're even predictable. They don't love Jesus like crazy one minute and then are apathetic and bored the next. They don't flip-flop on truth based on how the wind is blowing around them. They don't give in when all of a sudden there's resistance to an idea. They plant themselves like a giant boulder in the middle of the path of following Jesus, and they refuse to allow the winds or the waves or the storms to move them to the left or to the right. They hold on to their marriages, and they love their wives even when that becomes challenging, when culture tells them to just move on, find somebody who appreciates you more. The kids of godly dads can look up to them as men of their word, men who don't change their tune based on who's talking to them at the moment. Now, I was hesitant to even say this because there's a similar mentality that gets a hold of us sometimes that I think can actually be unhealthy. Please don't hear me saying that we can never change our minds about things, that we can never learn or grow or come to a better understanding about what God has said in his word. Just because you believed it when you were 22 doesn't mean that in order to obey this passage, you got to stick with what I've always believed. There are times when we read God's word and we understand it better. Somebody explains it to us, we have a discussion about it, we listen to a message about it, or we just read it on ourselves, and we come to a better understanding. If that's the case, then we need to move, okay? We need to adapt. We need to grow in our understanding. But when it comes to things that are non-negotiable, when it comes to truths that have been preached by the church for centuries and millennia now, we need to stand where we are. We need to hold on to it for dear life and not let go, regardless of the consequences. That's what our kids need from us, dads. They need to see us practicing steadfastness or immovability. They need to see that we're men who believe things and we're willing to stick with their beliefs even when it costs them something. Unfortunately, I've had many opportunities to do this. They need to see men who believe in good sportsmanship and kindness even when it's their favorite team losing by 30 in the fourth quarter. They need to see men who choose to show honor and respect to public officials regardless of the politics of the public officials involved. They need to see men who refuse to abandon their marriage vows and stick with their kid's mom through thick and through thin, through sickness and in health, in good times and in bad. That's what they need from us. If we make standing firm in what is right a regular practice, a habit in our lives, then we'll make significant progress, men, towards our destination of becoming godly dads. Can I just challenge you? Man, those things that are true, that are real, that God has revealed to us, hold on to those. Be somebody that embraces them all the time so that your kids can look at that and say, this is what a life of steadfastness looks like. This is a life I want. There's a second practice, moving right along. And it's found right here in this same verse. Take a look here. We'll read it again. It says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast and immovable. And then listen to this phrase, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So here we go, dads. Our job is to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. I've summarized it in your notes like this, if you're keeping track and you want to write this down. We must stay busy, okay? Doing what matters. Not just stay busy. We dads actually do that pretty well. I mean, a lot of us, not all of us, but a lot of us have careers that we're chasing down or jobs that we have to do outside the home, and we try to work hard there. When we come home, hopefully we're engaged in the process of managing the house and keeping track of things and looking out for our kids and looking out for the home that God has given us. So we're busy, man. We're running from place to place all the time. Okay? But here's the thing. I'm not so sure that we're as great at staying busy doing things that matter. Doing the stuff that's important. I mean, our kids, they need to learn that there's no substitute in it for hard work. You know, talent isn't a good substitute for hard work. Privilege is not a good substitute for hard work. Creating shortcuts and cheating to get where you want is not a substitute for hard work. We need to stay busy, but dads, we got to stay busy doing things that matter. Paul tells us that we're supposed to be abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, before you kind of get worried about this, I don't think that's referring to just your church volunteer time. I don't think it means how many hours do you spend in the church building each week. Because again, in this time frame, they don't have church buildings. So the work of the Lord they're doing is the work out there. It's the work for the Lord in their community. Yes, I'm sure it involved the times when they would gather together as a church to pray and to sing and to preach and to learn. I'm sure it included that, but it's bigger than that. It's when you go out and you help mow somebody's yard who can't quite get to it themselves. It's when you're there for that teenager who needs some wisdom and guidance. You need to be a big brother or a big sister for them. Any work you do in the name of Jesus is the work of the Lord. Jesus said at one passage, he says, you hand out a cup of cold water in my name, you're doing it to me. There is a spiritual element to the work we do that seems boring and commonplace to us. What's the big deal? God, Jesus is saying, it still matters. So, gentlemen, dads, we got to ask ourselves, are we spending our lives for eternal purposes? Dads, we got to show our kids what's important by what we give our energy to. We show our kids what matters by showing them what we give our passions to. If we give all of our time and all of our energy and all of our passion to building a career and gaining financial security, then that's what we're going to produce. We're going to produce kids that make career their agenda and make financial security their thing. If we give all our time and energy to our hobbies, then we're going to have kids who grow up that give their time and energy to hobbies. And I don't think that we can't go golfing or we can't play fantasy baseball and we can't do the... Obviously, we can do these things, guys. God wants us to have well-rounded lives. But what do you give your time and passion to? What do you give your energy to? What do you invest in? If your kids were called up to speak at your funeral, what would they say you gave your life for? And I'm not saying you have to be a pastor or a missionary. We probably have enough of those people, at least here in this country. What we need are people who are committed to living as followers of Jesus wherever God has placed them. We need Christian businessmen and businesswomen. We need Christian doctors and nurses. We need people who are engaged in the process of loving and helping to heal this broken world in the name of Jesus. Sometimes we get paid to do it. Sometimes we do it for fun, for volunteer work. We go to Honduras, for goodness sake, because we want to invest. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. When we give up a Saturday to go to somebody's house who's in need and help them get their house ready for the winter, we're teaching our kids about what's important. When we open up our home to somebody who's in need, then they're learning from our example about what is worth giving your life to. So dads, as we're eager to follow God's roadmap, we have to ask ourselves, are we spending our lives for eternal purposes? That doesn't mean you spend all your time in church. It never doesn't mean you don't never play golf or go on vacation or working hard at your office. What it means is that you're somebody who lives and breathes and bleeds devotion and passion to Jesus and his mission for the world, no matter what you're doing. Godly dads stand firm in what is right, and they stay busy doing what matters. And as they do these things progressively over a lifetime, they steadily become the godly dads that I know they long to be. But there's one last thing in this verse. One last practice. Let's look back at verse 58, shall we? Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now listen to this last phrase. This will just bless your heart. Knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. The final practice that I see you can jot down in your notes. Godly dads must count on God for results. We got to count on God for results. Let's face it, guys. The only reason that it makes sense to hold on to truth when it's unpopular and to keep busy doing things that exhaust you is because you believe that there's a God who's keeping track, who's going to make it work out in the end. We believe that there's a God who's looking at all of our labor, our toil, our blood, sweat, and tears, and he's keeping track of them, and he's going to make sure they are not in vain. We put in the work because we're convinced God's going to bring about the results sometime. May not be now. May not be for a while. It may not be until I'm standing side by side with him in eternity, but it will happen. Results will come. The fruit I've been fighting for and working for and exhausting myself for will bear fruit. There will be a harvest at the end of this labor. I mean, isn't that like the worst feeling in the world? To like feel like your labor is wasted? It's one of the most frustrating things sometimes about being a parent, because no matter how hard you work to clean them and feed them and love them and kiss them on the forehead instead of smacking them, on one day, guess what? You got to wake up the next day and do it all over again. They don't take vacations. I love it. It's funny. You know, mom, there's all these funny videos that circulate that I end up chuckling over, and it's like, wouldn't it be awesome if parents could go to their kids, say, hey, I've really bad cold today. Could you just take care of yourself today? I'm going to go sleep. Doesn't work that way most of the time. Parenting's a full-time gig, right? But there's a God in heaven who is watching us, who is connected to us, who is engaging with us, and he is going to make sure that time is not wasted. I mean, I've been that guy, right, that works on his research paper. This is back in the old days before we had a lot of the auto-save options that are available now. Type, research, think, which is hard for me. Type, that's even harder for me. And I get to the end, and I finally got a paper I want to turn into somebody. And the power goes out, or the printer doesn't work, or I lose the document and I start over again. It's like the worst feeling ever. I hate it. You know, that's like 10 hours of my life I'm never getting back. Like, nobody ever wants to say those words. And I think sometimes we dads get discouraged because so much of the work we do doesn't pay off today. Doesn't pay off tomorrow. There are no immediate results from them. Okay? Helping to shape your children's character and direct their hearts towards God and towards kindness and goodness, it's like, isn't it always a 3 steps forward, 2 steps back kind of a deal? I mean, have you ever had uninterrupted progress towards your goals? I mean, sure, there's those breakthrough moments. Those are fun, right? Those moments. I remember I was able to be present with all 3 of my boys, I think, and maybe I missed one, but I was able to be present with my boys when they, my 3 oldest, when they invited Jesus into their heart. Oh my goodness, I could go off that for weeks, right? There's those great breakthrough moments, but most of life is the nitty-gritty stuff that doesn't get documented on Facebook. It doesn't get celebrated. It's just faithful showing up, being who you are, standing firm, working hard, and then counting on God for results. Most of the time, my kids just don't listen to me. I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. And it's easy in those moments to think that nothing is worth it. It's not worth it to truly engage in loving and being an involved, focused dad. So I just quit. No, I don't walk out on my family and abandon them, but I stop engaging. I stop trying. I become emotionally distant. I become something of a zombie in my own house. You know, sometimes you just get hurt and disappointed enough, you don't want to get hurt and disappointed anymore, so you just kind of withdraw. See, godly dads, who I want to become, they study this roadmap. Because we realize we're not in a sprint to the finish line. We study this book, and it's a big book, and it takes a while, right? It takes a lifetime to wrap your head around this book. It takes a lifetime because we realize we're running not a marathon. That's easy. Well, I shouldn't say that. I've never run one. We're running one of those crazy nut job ultra marathons. We're running a race that lasts our entire life long. How can we keep going when we're running an ultra marathon called being a godly dad or becoming a godly dad? The only way we can keep going is we know something. Look at what the text says in verse 58. It says, we always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing. It's the knowing that helps us to stick with it. It's the knowing that helps us to keep moving. We know that in the Lord, our labor is not in vain. We know that we serve a God who makes 350-foot redwood trees out of a seed this big. It gets buried in the ground. You don't even see it for a lot of its growing time. It's invisible. And then it sprouts, and it takes years, and it have you ever seen a picture of a redwood and not had your jaw drop to the ground? It's just the most amazing thing I've seen. God makes those from little tiny seeds. He makes them from people who abound in his work, and he grows us up into something that we're like, how did I get to be able to do that? It's only by his help. But it takes time, and we know that in the Lord, it's not in vain. Look at the way Paul said it to the Galatians here. Galatians chapter 6. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. You know what, next verse? So then, this is the conclusion from that. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. How can you continue to do good to everybody? People outside of the family and inside, how do we do that? We do that because we believe that if we keep planting, we keep watering, we keep looking over this seed that we invest, God will cause it to grow. Fruit will come. We're not hoping it comes. We're not, oh man, I really, no. We know something. The God we serve is in the business of bringing fruit in due season, and that's the hard part, right? When he thinks it's time, the fruit will come. And we need to count on God for those results. We got to do our work, dads, and then we look to God to do his work. And we have confidence along the way that he will prove to us that our effort and our investment was not a waste. It was not empty. It wasn't like trying to catch mist with a butterfly net. We're counting on God for the results. Now, that's the kind of dad I want to be. I want to be dependable. I want to be predictably immovable. Somebody who stands firm about what is right. I want to be the kind of dad who works hard, okay? Staying busy, doing things that matter for eternity. And I want to be the kind of dad who shows his kids that he believes that there is a God who is watching and who will reward us with the kind of results someday that we want to see. So I'm going to make these practices a part of my life. I'm going to hold tightly to the roadmap that God has provided for me as a father, and I'm going to listen really carefully and really closely for the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit in the specific situations that come up on this journey towards becoming a godly dad. That's me. That's what I'm going to do. If you're a dad out there, can I encourage you to do the same? Build these practices, these habits into your life. You will see incredible impact on your children, and it'll impact you and the dad that you want to become. If you're a man out there, or even a young man, and you're not a dad yet, but you hope someday to be a dad, can I please challenge you? Don't stay in the basement playing video games all day. Start coming and becoming the kind of man who builds these practices into your life at a young age before you have kids. The sooner you start making these practices a part of your life, the easier it will be to make it your destination when the pressure's on and you do have kids. And lastly, I told you ladies I'd say something to you at the very end. If you're a mom, you're a wife, maybe you're a daughter at the very least, right? And if there's a dad in your world, maybe it's your own dad, or maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your son, maybe it's just a good friend, can I ask you a favor? Would you come alongside that man as he strives to take the journey towards becoming a godly dad? Would you tell him from time to time that he's doing a good job? Would you be careful when you need to be as gentle as you can when you remind him and point out the times that he falls short? It's okay to do. We need that. Can you please be as gentle as you can? And mostly, you know what? I'm going to ask you, just look into his eyes every now and then and just tell him something. You can do this. With God's help, you have what it takes to become the godly dad you want to be. You have no idea, ladies, the impact you will have on a man's heart if you'll just tell him that from time to time. Now, I'm not saying prop up his ego and stroke his little ego. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about every now and then just looking in his eyes and saying, I believe in you. You can do this. Make a huge difference. So dads, as you undertake the journey towards becoming a godly dad along with me, who needs as much help as anybody in this room, I encourage you, I challenge you, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For we know that in the Lord, our labor is not in vain. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that he has shown us the way to be a man of God. He lived as a man for 30-some years on this planet. In his life, we see the model we want to become. Lord, in your word, the roadmap of your word, you've given us instructions that sometimes are not as specific as we would like, but they challenge us and they point us in the right direction and they get us moving. And your spirit then comes alongside of us and your spirit nudges us into those specific moments, those specific situations. God, help us to be open to your word and open to your spirit, to get the big picture and then also to follow you, Lord, with the individual steps along the way. Take us, Lord. Make us the dads we long to be. And I pray these things in the powerful name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.